Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's northern Thailand in the present day, near the Lao border. Thai soldiers digging up the grounds of a school are all struck with a mysterious tropical malady, a sleeping sickness. Laid out in beds in a makeshift hospital on the site, they are cared for by a housewife and a young medium. By reading their unconscious minds, they discover that the building was built on the ruins of an ancient palace, which was also the site of great battles. And from the dreams of a sleeping soldier named Yit, via the medium Kung, Je is grounded through an invisible palace and a splendid cemetery. Cemetery of Splendor is the latest film by master Thai director Apichatpong Wirasatakun, and his funniest and best film so far, in my opinion, also his most accessible. It is filled with strange images like glowing sticks intruding into people's thoughts, an invisible palace, and goddesses who still wander their ancestral realms. It's also a trenchant criticism of contemporary Thailand, which is currently under military rule. To tell me more about Cemetery of Splendor, I'm very pleased to have Apichatpong Wirasatakun here with me at the Toronto International Film Festival. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me here.
I'm very honored to have you speaking to me. That's great. First, I want to tell you how much I love this movie. And let's start by talking about dreams in the movie. Do you record your own dreams?
Yes, for the past few years, I wrote down my dream. Even here in Toronto, I do, yes.
Anything special?
No, I dreamt that I was staying in the Sheraton, right? And suddenly it became that it's, my room is near the river in Thailand. And also there's this mountain people around inside the room guarding lots of magazines, and also there's something about blood transfusion goes wrong.
Oh.
I don't know. So I'm really fascinated by this logic, non-logic things that happen to in our brains, either during awakening or sleeping.
And in the movie, the sleeping soldier, is his name Yit? He has dreams, and they're recorded in a notebook as well. And it's a map of the palace that used to be there. Did you ever have that kind of dream? Like a visual dream like that?
I think so, because most of the... Sometimes when I always put these things in my movies, also in Uncle Bunny, previously, about the dream of pattern, and the whole film is also structured to that, that it's flow quite freely.
The movie itself goes between reality and dream, or so the land of dreams, the land of reality, and they sort of merge. Could you talk about the merger between dreams and reality?
Well, for me, in this film in particular, it reflects the way that I feel about Thailand, living there. Sometimes you don't really know that, am I dreaming? Or, you know, because of this political situation and how people led to believe. And also, when you think about what happened before in the history, how we were brainwashed, or you know, how we have been subject to this repeated information,
propaganda,
so the movie, this movie is like that, is about the power of suggestion. Sometimes it's not really showing things to the audience, but it's happening in the audience's imagination.
And I sort of want to talk about exactly that. When I was very lucky to visit Thailand when I was still a teenager, and one thing sticks in my memory. I went to a movie there, and after the trailers, everyone in the audience, they're all my age, they jump to their feet. And they're all standing attention. I said, what's going on? So I stood up beside them, but I didn't know what was happening. And then on the screen, it's the king and the royal family and the royal anthem. And people were very respectful and everything. And then when it's over, they sat down and the movie began. But in this film, everyone gets to their feet and the screen is blank in the movie theater. Where's the king?
Oh, it's good that you stood up when you were there. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble. But for me, it's more about people. I mean, it's more of kind of a sadness gesture to stand up and then see nothing on the screen. For me, it's maybe less comment on this practice of royal anthem, but more of we are just being puppets or just facing, I would say, just a void. Yeah. Mm. And I don't know, this kind of trailer that I put more is the movie that I saw when I was younger. This ghost movie. It's not really play at anymore in Thai theaters. And the fact that this movie, the trailer of this movie, the movie is not released yet because the guy cannot find a distributor. So it's kind of sad. So I put this trailer in as an homage to this genre as well. Yeah.
In the hospital, and this is more about the propaganda again, they install giant candy cane shaped tubes that change color. As the soldiers all sleep. Could you talk about, are they being brainwashed? Is it, what is going on there? That is so fascinating.
I never thought about it as a shape of the candy cane because, this is the first time you're right. But it actually inspired from the shape of the fence at my home.
Oh.
There's all this, because I live just nearby the military camp,
mm-hmm.
and they have this fence that has this umbrella-like shape, and so it's just from there. And for the colors of the light, it was part of the research on sleeping I had, and I'm very struck by this study from MIT about this different spectrum of color that can affect your memory. Even certain kind of color even can fabricate memories in mice. Yeah, so this is, for me, is related to cinema, how we've been, subject to information and build our personality through that, and memories. So, from there. Yeah.
And one of the characters, I think it's is it Jen? I don't know, I'm not pronouncing it right, but
Jen Jira.
Jen, she is she the one who thinks it's all a CIA plot to brainwash Thai people?
No, it's just a little funny comment.
Yeah. Just an offhand comment.
No, because when I grew up in this northeast city, it was used to be a very small town, and during the 70s, there's a huge influx of communism, and the government, with the support of the American government, tried to defend, try to get rid of communism in the region. Yeah, and Thailand is a big ally, and I remember going to this American place in this, my hometown, and watched King Kong, black and white movie, and many American culture start my fascination. American culture maybe started from that time. Yeah.
And yet Jen Jira, she has an American boyfriend, but he's overweight and old, and she says he has no money. Is the adulation of all things American, has that sort of died in Thailand?
Oh, no, really, it's in the region of the Northeast,
yeah,
quite popular.
Oh, quite popular
to have a foreign husband,
right?
No matter from Texas or from Europe, yeah. I don't know. It's just it's one of the poorest place
right.
in the area, and have a highest percentage of. I don't know. Is it called mixed marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the
place. But it's funny the way she describes it. That maybe the American dream is dead, or I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, are those her own comments, or did you write the script?
No, I heard it from a European friend, actually. Yeah, and I agree in a way.
Most of the actors in your movie are not professional actors. Why do you use amateur actors or non-actors in your film?
Because I like to learn from them. To work with actors is pretty superficial for me, but they just come and just try to be someone in the script. But at the same time, professional actor has so many layers because they've been have practice or kind of possessed by many personalities in their own career. But amateur is so true, and you know, you can really learn a lot from real life. And so in the movie, I learn a lot from Janjira, and she's almost taking over the direction of the movie when we're developing. And yeah, so I really enjoy the process like this. Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about the location. It's the place in itself. I don't know if it was all shot in one area, but the it's sort of in this area where there are strange old painted statues of people and dinosaurs, but sort of faded and peeling paint. Could you talk about the location?
It was shot in my hometown called Konkan. In the Northeast, and maybe about 10 or something years back, there's this digging and found the archaeology site that has dinosaurs.
And since, real dinosaurs?
Of course, yes. Oh. Since then, the city has adopted dinosaurs, and we have a sculpture of them everywhere. Yeah. It's a logo of the city.
This is fascinating. Some of the scenes are shocking to me from watching your movies before, but this one has one of the characters. We see her from behind squatting, lifting up her skirt, and she takes a dump on the grass.
Oh, it's a man, actually.
Oh, it's a man. Okay, sorry. I couldn't see if it was from behind. But we find out later that that's the grounds of the palace or the battlefield. Is there a connection with that?
Yes.
So we later get a tour of it. Do we go back to the same location?
Physically, when we shot, no, different location.
But in the body of the film, the feeling
yes,
of the film.
Yes, where was it? The whole city, just in Konkan.
Oh, okay.
The whole town. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So could you talk about that? The meaning of that?
Oh, impossible! The whole movie has no meaning.
I mean, no
direct
meaning.
But
okay,
there's just some suggestion and there's some.
But it seems
kind
to be... I'm sorry, go on.
Just feelings of the place, of a little happenings here and there. But I don't intend to have a very obvious meaning, but just gestures of people. And of course, you can interpret in...
To me, it looks like a criticism.
Can be, but
yeah.
If in that angle, I can be in trouble.
Right, no, of course.
You know, in
I
Thailand,
realize that, yes.
Two performers were in jail for their play already.
I understand.
So all this thing that is become challenging to me, and at the same time, suffocating situation. Yeah.
I understand there are things we can talk about and things we can't talk about about your film. And finally, is this film a lament for the loss of dreams and spirituality and good feelings in Thailand?
I would say it's a farewell letter, because normally when I make film, it's always personal, that
the movie and my life is intertwined, that it's just like diaries. And in the past few years, I think that I should be more political, like my daily life, that I start to have all this political awareness, like many people in the country, that then it become hard to express because you are not allowed. So the movie is like, okay, that's it. I feel that that's why I'm going to shoot in my hometown, and just from now on, we just move on to maybe different countries, different thing that still interests me and that I can express.
I understand. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Thank you.
And for me, it was a highly political movie. You may not have intended it that way, but that's how I interpret it.
Great. I'm glad that, you know, you can, movie can be viewed in, you know, that way.
Thank you very much for talking with me. I've been speaking with master filmmaker Apichatpongwe Rasatakun, whose newest film, Cemetery of Splendor, debuts at the Toronto International Film Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.